tapered Galaxias is known from one single, very small upland stream. So it's its global distribution. So the Aberfeldy fire burnt over its catchment. And what tends to happen after fires is the catchment vegetation is burnt, the soil's loose and ready to move, and if there's an intense rainstorm event, all that sedimentation's washed straight into the creek. The fish are living in this tiny little creek, and therefore they were at very high risk of being buried alive and killed.
Goodness me. And so a rescue mission was started. What did you do?
As an insurance policy against the loss of the fish in the creek, we took a proportion of the remaining population and we took them to captive management, which meant we took them out of the creek and we took them to a specialised aquarium facility. So our objective was to keep them alive and healthy at this aquarium facility, more like a health resort to them, until the catchment conditions could improve and we could then take the fish back into the wild, because the best spot for them and the place where they do their work the best is in the wild.
So when they're in that facility, do you have to try and get the conditions as close as possible to what they are in?
Yeah, but, you know, we've got a very narrow view, I guess, of what happens in the environment. You think there's water, so you add water. You think there's some rocks, you add rocks, and that's about it. Throw in a bit of food. It's not that simplistic. So we tried to maintain the fish in the conditions that we thought we could, that they were used to, but there were obvious things that we couldn't replicate. So we knew they weren't going to breed properly, but our main objective was to just keep them alive. So we brought rocks back from the stream that they occurred in, so they had similar rocks. Water temperature was kept at a similar temperature over the seasons that they would also have in the environment. And we kept the food up, but not too much. We kept them hungry and keen.
And they survived well.
Yeah, we only lost a few in the aquarium facility, which you'd expect some mortality over time. But all fish grew really well. They were healthy. There were no disease outbreaks. They were vigorous. They were happy.
And now the good news is they have been returned.
Yes, exactly. 2 days ago, we took all the fish that we had, which was about 105 individuals, and we took them back to their brothers and sisters in Stony Creek. The system itself had recovered very well. There was very little signs of sedimentation. The catchment was recovering extremely well. Probably it's the wettest catchment I've seen out there for a number of years. And that was really because we had some really good soaking rain throughout autumn, winter. It went into spring and, for this year, it also went into early summer.
So the perfect conditions for them, really.
Yeah, exactly. So it was an insurance policy keeping these fish, and the good news is that nothing happened to the remaining few that were left in the wild. But another good point to this is that while we were out there, we also looked at some very upper reaches of some other remote parts of catchments nearby, and we were able to find two additional very small populations. So that's good news on one hand, because we've now got three populations of fish. Still, the total number may be only a couple of hundred. Now, a couple of hundred fish sounds like a lot, but they'll fit into about two buckets. That's how small these fish are. But the downside of finding these other two populations is that they're very close to the first population we had. So they're only about 7 kilometres in distance. So if there still is some major event that occurs there, such as drought or bushfire again, it's probably going to affect all three populations.
Mm.
But that still is an exciting find.
Well, it's better to have the three separate populations than just the one that you thought you had.
Yes, exactly. But unfortunately, they're still up above waterfalls where their main predator, which is introduced trout, where it can't get in. But they are very small sections of stream.
Mm.
But the good news is they're out there, they're happy, conditions are fantastic, so there'll be good spawning this coming season and the species will persist.
And for those that aren't sure, you just mentioned they're very small. What do they look like?
Now, what do they look like? Their size is about, the maximum size would be the length of your middle finger. Normal size is a little bit less than that. They're a scaleless freshwater fish. Most people are used to fish with scales. These don't have any. they have evolved in Australia, so they've been here for a lot longer than we have. And they're quite small, and as a tapered galaxid name suggests, they're sort of pointed at both ends. They're not a deep-bodied fish. They're more like a pencil, mm-hmm. but with pointed ends.
Okay. And you mentioned that the introduced fish are the predators. Do they have other predators as well?
No. Well, I guess in the natural environment, natural background levels of predation would have been from native freshwater eels, perhaps some birds. But because the galaxid has evolved with those animals, it's also evolved mechanisms whereby it can avoid predation. Introduced trout were brought in as a recreational resource, and they are a very valuable recreational resource. Unfortunately, they prey on galaxids, and they're very efficient at it. The galaxids did not evolve in streams with this type of predator, and so they have no defences against it. A trout will swim up to a galaxid and go, hello, snack pack, whereas a galaxid will be just swimming up going, hi, it's someone to play with. It'll only ever end one way.
That's right. And in terms of the populations there now, do you keep an eye on them?
Yeah, certainly over time we'll try and keep an eye on them. If drought returns and stream flows get low, we'll monitor their habitat. In general, they tend to be found in sections of stream where even if surface water runoff, let's say from the catchment, stops over summer, the flow in the creek is still supported by groundwater inflow. And a key there is that the habitat or the rocks at the bottom of the stream aren't covered in sediment. If they are, the fish can't push down in amongst them to get to where the water is over summer. Mm. But in a really good catchment with a natural stream bed, even if the stream flows flowing down sort of beneath the rock layer, the fish are able to move down into that area. So we'll keep an eye on them. We'll keep an eye in case any predators do get up into that environment, and then we'll shift the predators back out. And I guess in the future, if again there is a fire, we may go to this strategy again. It's very simple science, but it's very effective. The tapered galaxid is one of six threatened galaxids in the Gippsland area. Some are in West Gippsland. There's some in the middle of Gippsland in the Dargo and the Upper Macalester, and there's another two species over in East Gippsland. They've all got similar issues, they've got similar problems, and the management that we're doing for the tapered galaxid, that is ensuring that predators aren't in amongst the populations and also looking after them if there's drought or fire, we're applying that sort of methodology to all of them.
And is these areas in Gippsland, are they the only places you'll find these fish, or are there other parts of the country?
Exactly. All six species are really known from either one or two or three populations. That's it. That's the global, planetary, universal distribution of these things.
So if they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah, they're on the edge of extinction, and we're trying to bring them back from there.